previously on But You're Wrong.
Like, do hermits have fucking special powers that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, I don't...
It's as if the hermits evaporated straight through the walls.
Straight through the walls.
All right, so welcome to But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodella.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
And we have with us...
Chris Bertone.
So we're recording because we started discussing Iron Man 3 and then realized that we would just have to record it again later. So we saw it today, and where were we in the conversation that we decided? We were talking about the Mandarin.
We're talking about the Mandarin.
Hang on. Obviously spoilers, so...
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, which is...
huge, just...
Very possible since it came out yesterday.
Huge fucking spoilers. I mean, this will go up a few days after, but still, like... Huge fucking spoilers. But anyway, the Mandarin.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we really want to start there?
What, do we want to start at the beginning and like go through the movie?
Well, let's start first with our overall impressions of the film.
Okay. That's a good place.
So, Chris, what'd you come away with from the film?
I liked it because I felt like they went back to the first film in a sense of beats, I guess, where he started off having kind of everything, and they stripped him down to having nothing again, and it was him just as a man trying to build up, like, where he was, you know, with the armor and everything like that. Because, I mean, what happens is that pretty much he gets attacked by the Mandarin, and he loses his townhouse with all his shit in it. But at the same time, too, I was like, why don't you just fucking go to Stark Tower? Like, I know it's slightly destroyed, but it's not totally destroyed.
Well, my assumption is that they're in the process of rebuilding it.
Right.
Well, they also do explain that he has, in this movie, Tony Stark is experiencing a lot of anxiety, which is kind of crippling.
He doesn't want to go to New York.
And pretty much, I think it's because the way they kind of present it is that Tony Stark cannot fathom what happened in New York, and because of that, anytime someone brings it up, like, he's not used to not being able to wrap his mind around something, so it's giving him all sorts of anxiety, and I think that's probably why he didn't go.
Right. That makes more sense thinking about it that way.
I wonder, at the end of The Avengers, he seems very calm.
Hmm.
So I wonder if that final part happens after Iron Man 3.
I don't know, or he was just faking it.
Or, like, he didn't start having the anxiety problems. Because he can't, he has the insomnia, can't sleep, builds many suits of armor.
Yeah, was it 47 suits?
I think it was only 42.
Yeah. It's around there. It's 42, in the 40s.
42
There's a lot of suits. More than he needs.
Yeah.
I thought the comedy was done brilliantly throughout the entire film, too.
Yes.
It was, and that thing was just, it was cheeky, but it was just, it was smart. And you'd think, like, The plot that I, the one that I liked at the end is that when the suit is coming in and you think, like, all right, he's running out of options. This is a stereotypical fucking action film where what else could happen? Oh, wait, plot device. Here's that suit that didn't work. Flying in to save his ass. And then it just kind of explodes.
But, you know,
it fails.
What I liked was it doesn't just, like, fail. It accidentally, like, bumps into something and then falls apart.
Yeah, it's like it tripped over a rock and exploded.
Yeah.
And then it's just, I was like, that was well written just because it was like, here's your stereotypical action bullshit, and we're just going to pull the rug out from underneath it.
Yeah, and they did that a lot.
Mm.
Like the other Iron Man movies and the Avengers and everything, especially the Tony Stark humor was very well written, very well placed.
I really liked, like I was saying before, I really liked that it was a real superhero movie that watching it made me feel like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were talking about, like, the Air Force One scene, but also there are parts before that that just, like, were awesome.
It was a fun, like, time at the movies.
Well, yeah, like, it was entertaining, like...
I mean, it's kind of why you go to see, like, a blockbuster film in, you know, in the summer.
Right.
It's like, you go to be entertained, you know. The fucking Oscar winner artsy movies come out at the end of the year.
Yeah.
The, you know, the fun movies that you, like, really go and enjoy seeing with your friends are Iron Man and shit that come out in the middle of the
year. And it's a movie that you're like, I want to just have, like, watch a movie and have a good time and relax and unwind at the end of the day. Like, it's like, you know, women come home when they want to watch You've Got Mail to relax and feel better about themselves. We watch Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't, I like that there was really no slow points, because we've been talking a lot about Batman and Iron Man. And
yes.
I felt like with the last Batman film, there was a lot of parts that it was kind of slow and it kind of was drawn out. And with this, there was plot points, there was twists, there was action, and there was no point where everything was explained and I had no questions on what was happening, or I was, how did that happen? Why does this happen? It was all done. But there wasn't like, and here's a long talking scene, and here's some sweeping shots that may or may not be really necessary, but we're going to fucking put it in.
And here's all this other stuff about other characters and stuff. And I think going to the Dark Knight Rises comparison, like, they're both supposed to be kind of closure for a character arc and talk about a character arc. And, like, in Dark Knight Rises, it really gets muddled to the point where I'm not entirely sure how to express what his character arc in that movie is. I guess it's kind of the same one, like dealing with his identity and like who he is and what he stands for and that stuff, but there's so much other stuff going on there and focusing on so many other people that you're kind of like, I mean, I guess, but in Iron Man 3, it stays with him so much, and there's people in there, and like you get a little bit from Pepper and you get stuff from Happy, but really it focuses on Tony because it's his story about his identity, especially after New York and like how does he compare, and he's just a man in a suit and an iron suit.
I feel like here's a huge issue with why it's hard to compare the two series, and why even though the quality of film on the Batman side may be better, the Iron Man, maybe the character arc is more clear and less muddled. And that's because Tony Stark was Iron Man. Just, you know, just as simply as the end of the first movie, truth is, I am Iron Man. And he was Iron Man. You know, there was kind of a conflict of character, but not like Batman and Bruce Wayne. You know, where it was basically two different characters.
The enemies fighting themselves.
That were battling each other and battling the enemies. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tony Stark, there was like a little bit of conflict as to, you know, if he can continue this to still protect his friends and all that shit. But, like, at the same time, the Iron Man arc and the Tony Stark arc were the same.
Yeah.
Whereas Bruce Wayne and Batman were two totally different things, and that's why towards the end, you know, you're like, well, was there really an arc? Was it, you know, did this really see through to completion? You know, should they have ended in that way?
The nice thing about the Tony Stark character arc is they're the same person. It's the same story, because Iron Man is just this, it's not another side of him, it's this thing that he thinks almost defines it now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is he realizes, and it sounds really cheesy, I'm sure, what I'm about to say, but the whole movie he basically realizes that he doesn't need the suit to be a hero. He is actually a hero himself.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, yes, that's really kind of basic, but it's really well done, and it's not something, like I said before, it's not something that beats you over the head with it.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, Tony, let's have this conversation with Pepper about how you're confused about being a hero, and then she'll call you, you'll save her, and she'll say, my hero, and then everyone will get the point of what we're going for.
Right. It's funny, too, it's almost like the writers of the script sat down and watched The Avengers, and when Captain America goes, you know, we take your suit away, and what are you? And they're like, fuck, let's just write a script about that. Because that's kind of what the movie was about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was not in the Iron Man suit that much.
No.
Yeah. It was really good, though. I think they did a good combination of putting Mandarin in there and the Extremis.
Which I wasn't familiar with at all. I knew about the Mandarin. I didn't know about Extremis.
So it is part of the comics. And basically what happens is it follows very similar. the woman that he bangs at the beginning.
Botanist.
Yeah. In the comics, I think her name's like Maya Henson something. I think it's the same in the movie. But she develops the Extremis. It gets... Somebody steals it. She ends up actually being behind it. But they use it. They go into an FBI building. It's only one guy that has it, though. It becomes like this weapon. Tony tries to take him down. Just gets destroyed. Almost dies and says, I have to be better now. So he works with her, modifies the Extremis product. And then that whole thing where he's injecting the stuff into his arms.
Yeah.
To be able to, like, remotely control the armor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is what ends nanobites up nanobites or whatever the fuck? Is that the concept of it?
That's what ends, he ends up having, like, the ends in the comics, it's like the liner of his suit. He has to put something else on in order to interact with the suit.
Mm-hmm.
That ends up being something that he stores in his body, like, within his bones.
Okay.
And then that comes out, and then he can control the suit that way. So that was a little bit different that they didn't go through all that, but I think that's probably a good idea. But I still like the way that they took the basic plot of Extremis.
Right. Which, if I, and I really hope at this point people have seen the movie so they know what the hell we're talking about, but if you're an idiot and just say, like, fuck it, I'm just going to listen to this without seeing the film, it's kind of like a bunch of T-1000s running around in a sense. They have, like, lava powers, and if they get a limb cut off, they can grow it back.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but then they can also explode and kill people.
Yeah, it's weird.
Spontaneous combustion.
It's weird that the spontaneous combustion wasn't part of it.
It was a glitch.
It was a glitch in the movie. It wasn't part of the comics, is what I meant. But like the breathing fire in there and all the other stuff was. Do you want to talk about the Mandarin now?
Yeah.
Now we'll get into the Mandarin.
Can I say right before we go into
yeah,
the
yeah.
Don Cheadle. First time in three films I've actually believed that Tony Stark and Don Cheadle are friends.
Well that's because in the first one they weren't friends.
Right.
It was Terrence Howard
yeah.
who just wanted way too much fucking money.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he wanted as much money as fucking Robert Downey
yeah.
Jr.
Yeah. I felt he was awkward in the second film. I never like bought into it.
A little bit.
And now I'm just like, they hang out.
There were parts of that
so much better in this film.
Yeah.
There were parts of that though that when they at the end, when they're running around with the guns, it was like a buddy cop movie almost.
Yeah.
And I wanted Don
Cheadle. One white guy, one black guy.
I wanted
we're in Miami.
I literally wanted Don Cheadle to be like, hey Tony, I forgot to say, listen, I'm like 3 days away from retirement. So
and I'm getting too old for this shit.
I need a vacation.
You know what got me about Don Cheadle though is he gets out of the Iron Patriot armor, and he's wearing like a polo and khakis. I was
yeah.
like,
no, it looked like he walked off a fucking golf course.
Yeah, yeah, he was like, yeah, I was playing golf, and then the president needed me, so you know, I just hopped in the suit and went. Which I thought was really weird, but anyway,
yeah, let it slide.
So I do have a complaint about when they were running around, storming the shipyard or whatever.
Okay,
yeah.
Tony Stark has a certain shortcoming when it comes to stealth, which is this giant glowing piece in his chest. Now, when he stormed the Mandarin hideout, he zipped up his heavy black hoodie. When they were sneaking around at night, he just had it unzipped and he was just shining everywhere. And I'm like, I feel like that's just a bad idea.
It seems kind of dumb.
Yeah. Plus, they would, like, wait for somebody to go by, and then they would just stomp up the stairs as they run.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. They were not
guys,
stealthy.
Yeah, these guys really suck at stealth.
There
and
was,
I think when you're fighting somebody who can have a limb cut off and come back from it, I'm going to say you really should take the element of surprise.
Also, a slight kind of plot issue. So, Cheadle loses his armor.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of the armors appear, just like almost like remotely being controlled by Jarvis. And Cheadle goes, can I have a suit? And he just goes, yeah, no, sorry, I calibrate them only for myself. Yet earlier in the film, he gives it to Pepper without any issue whatsoever. And then after that, he sticks it on the bad guy. Again, no issue whatsoever. So he was really like, go fuck yourself, go get your own suit. I gave you one, that's your one.
Well, here... I can see, yes, but I have two explanations for that. One, with Pepper, because he wants to protect her so much, I can see him also calibrating the suits for Pepper. Two, and she was so used to it, I imagine that that's not the first time she's put the suit on.
Possibly.
They use it in their lovemaking.
Probably.
Good for them.
Probably.
Yeah. You have new meaning to the word Iron Man.
He puts the suit on the bad guy, but I think he's able to do that because he's still controlling the suit.
Okay. But the president was wearing the Iron Patriot suit, too.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that's not made by Tony Stark.
Or even if it is... It's been calibrated for
the president.
No, not for the president.
Well, I'm saying I'm thinking that whoever made that suit didn't put the safeguards in that Tony did.
It was Tony's suit. Tony gave that to him and calibrated it to him. I read the comic, the pre comic to the movie.
Oh, he made the Iron Patriot suit.
He made it was War Machine.
Oh, that's right.
He made it as War Machine, and then he just gave it a paint job.
And he calibrated specifically to John Cheadle.
Yes.
Well, then maybe. I mean, it could be, you know what, it could be the same thing, though, where if you tell the armor to go off, or, I mean, the Guy Pierce, I forget what his character name is.
Mandarin 2.
No, Killian?
Killian, yes. Killian?
I mean, he could have hacked into it and just, you know, took out safeguards and just told it to fly the president. But.
I don't know, I'm just saying that was the only thing I was just like, ah.
But yeah, I see your point.
I think you could deal with it.
There's, yeah, that's. I mean, that's kind of a nitpicky thing, but so is mine. So, but yeah. I feel like if there was a scene though where they explained that, we would hate that scene.
Yeah.
That's so.
So now the big reveal, I suppose.
Oh yeah.
Keith is gay. one thing that I thought was really well done and kind of throws everyone for a little bit of a loop is that the Mandarin is not really the Mandarin, and Mr. Ben Kingsley is an actor named Trevor.
I love the name Trevor. It's such a perfect name.
Who loves to pile on butt heavies.
Yes,
so many butt heavies.
Loves drugs.
Loves drugs.
And threesomes.
Threesomes
and
soccer.
It's soccer, and a lot of butt heavy. So, and we're not joking. Like, you might be thinking like that's a joke. It's not.
But
go see
yeah.
the movie. It's true.
Yeah. I thought it was really well done.
It was such a great switcheroo.
It was so
switcheroo.
So what? So
oh, they did the old dumps. Switcheroo. Oh yeah.
stinky dumps.
So, what really happens is that Killian is the mastermind behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
And uses Ben Kingsley as just an actor to... They do, like, these Bin Laden-like tapes that they broadcast out. And Ben Kingsley shows up as the Mandarin, does his big speech, whatever. But really, he's just this goofy-ass British actor who...
is faking an even weirder voice.
Yeah, he's just a real goofball. Yeah.
And he didn't know. That was the other thing, too, is that he didn't know. He thought it was just, like, things were happening, but he didn't think people were dying, or he was just so fucked up on the drugs, he just didn't know.
My assumption is that he's just fucked up on the drugs, because that was the other thing. I was trying to figure out how this guy doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Because he does have a TV.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be all over the news? But then again, he probably just doesn't give a shit about the news, and they probably just leave, like, the soccer channel on all the time for him.
Yeah.
So, plus, you know, he's pounded butt heavies, passing out in the middle of having a gun held to his face.
Yeah, it may be my favorite Ben Kingsley role. Other than that bridge ripped for the wolves. And the whole Gandhi thing.
Gandhi was okay. I think this beats Gandhi.
Yeah, a lot more action.
Yeah. And I like that he comes out, I don't know what his t-shirt says, but he just comes out wearing like a short silk robe, some kind of a t-shirt, and then like bright red silk pants. And he's like, don't go in there for at least 20 minutes, ladies. And I love also that he's yapping about something, and the girl's like, there's like a guy back there with a gun.
And he just keeps going.
Keeps going, yeah.
It was smart. It was not only I thought it was intelligent writing for obviously the screenwriters, but as a marketing, I can't remember the last time I went to the movie where I didn't really know what was going to happen. Because I feel like a lot of times it's like, here's a preview, and there it is. Like, I always like to talk back to Terminator 2. Because there wasn't really the internet when T2 came out, until you went and saw the film, you didn't know who the bad guy was. You didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
And I feel like when they do a lot of the previews, it's like, I guess I could see the film, but I'm pretty sure I just saw the whole fucking thing. And I felt like with this, it's like you see the mansion explode, the Mandarin, you think you know what's going to go on, and then you see it and you're like, I didn't fucking see this coming at all.
With him being in Miami, I thought that maybe that was the kind of twist, or part of me in the back of my mind was thinking that there was something else happening.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it to be that necessarily. Well, yeah, it's kind of like when I saw Usual Suspects. Like, I didn't know what the end of that movie was. And it was a movie that I hadn't even seen a trailer for. My brother was just like, you need to see this movie. So I watched it, and I was like, right. Holy shit.
But, I mean, I just feel like with comic book movies especially, like, you have an anticipation going in onto what is going to occur and how it's going to unfold. Because at this point, and I think that's why I like this movie the most, maybe, when it comes to things, is that because it's like with superhero films, it's like, this is how it's going to happen. And you get to a point where it's just cookie cutter shit,
yeah.
And it's just a different character and all this other crap coming into a storyline. And I feel with this, they took it like, this is the story, and this is your basic action film role, and now let's just kind of break the rules and kind of do it a different way.
Mm.
And I'm glad they were kind of aware of the situation, and they kind of went into it trying to do something else as opposed to just pumping something out. Because they could have shit out whatever and still made an ass ton of money.
Yeah, they're going to make all their money back.
Yeah.
Just because people want to see fucking Downey Jr. fly around in the Iron Man outfit.
Right, yeah.
My one kind of complaint, and maybe it was because we saw it in 3D, I feel like, detail in the final scene with all the suits.
Yeah, it was hard. It might be the 3D.
I'm thinking it's the 3D, because I wish I had seen more detail on some of the suits.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really something that I really wanted to see.
Right, because I could pick out a couple. Like, I think that's the aquatic one, and there's the Hulk Smasher.
Yeah, and there's the Deep Space one, and, like, ones like that, and then... Because in the comics, he has, over hundreds.
Yeah.
Or even just, you know, similar suits, but they just draw it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure how I felt about the voiceover. That's another complaint I have.
So you're saying, like, the beginning and the end of just Downey Jr.
But I mean, when you get to the scene after the credits, then the voiceover kind of makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
But initially I was like, oh, that's really weird. And it reminded me of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Okay.
And have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he starts off with a narration,
right.
And he even, in the beginning of that movie, he even stops and goes, God, hang on, let me start over, because this is just shitty storytelling.
Right.
And he kind of does the same thing in this one, and I'm like, all right, I guess.
I liked it, I didn't like it. I think I liked it because it kind of reminded me of a comic, because 90% of a comic book is the person talking in their head.
Yeah.
So, and when you do a movie, you don't really get that. Even with fucking Batman, where... You read a Batman comic, and 90% of it's him fucking talking to himself.
Yeah.
You know? So to have that kind of overdub, and obviously the after credit scene really kind of ties it together to make more sense.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed it just because it was more kind of comic book storytelling in a sense.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I did too. And there was moments where it slowed down, but never to the point where I ever felt bored, or I was like, all right, let's hurry it up, let's get to the point. Like, I mean, there's a whole half hour or more sequence where he spends in, like, the hills in Tennessee with this little kid, and it's actually a really awesome sequence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never was I like, oh, well, you know, this is kind of throwaway. You know, and in the end, it's, you know, you... you don't outwardly realize what it is at first, I guess. You know, he goes there kind of to find out more about the explosions or whatever, and how people are dying. And but, you know, in the end, it kind of, I don't know, it's a good reflection of him as Tony Stark rather than Iron Man, because he doesn't use the suit at all. I mean, he's just doing his own fact-finding mission without any technology, and this little kid who's pretty funny. So yeah,
and he does that awesome fight with one of the extremists, or actually two of the extremist people in that small town.
Oh yeah, and when exactly in the bar, and then in the restaurant there, and
yeah,
it was really cool fight, and just improvising rather than being able to use a suit. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the whole movie really focused around like identity. I wasn't sure how I felt about the scene where he goes into the news van and then the guy's like, oh my God, like I've modeled my entire look after you. But then when you get to the end and you're like, okay, it was all about identity, you're like, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But that guy was really weird.
He was like, I think if Tony Stark had said, listen, you want to hop in a bed right now, I think he would have.
Oh no, he definitely would have. That's not a question. Like, the guy would have been willing to go ask him out.
Once yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
He would have shown him his Iron Man.
Yeah. Rock solid.
I'm trying to think. I don't
know. You know what? There's other stuff we talked about before, too, about it, but I can't think of it.
I think we touched on this a little bit. I got to watch Iron Man 1, but I might like this more. I'm just thinking because Iron Man 1 as a whole, I love the beginning, and I love the second act. The third act to me was always just like, I mean, that's what kind of has to happen, and it wraps up the movie, and but like the whole fight between him and, is it Jebediah Stane, is that it?
Jebediah, yeah.
The dude, when he fights the dude.
Yeah, when he fights the fat, bald dude.
Yeah. I was like, it. That's what has to happen. I don't necessarily, like, it looks okay, and I guess that's just kind of what it is. But I felt with this, like, I enjoyed all three acts a lot more as a film, you know?
Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah. I didn't like him. I mean, I liked him in the movie, but I didn't like how much he had certain mannerisms like the dude.
Right. He was always drinking White Russians, and...
Well, there was one part, though, where he's drinking, and, like, in the Big Lebowski, the dude does that thing where he gets the White Russian in his beard, and he does, like, this, like, he does, puts his lower lip up to, like, get the...
Suck it out.
Yeah, and he does, and Obadiah does that in the movie, too, and I was like, that's a really kind of dude thing to do. Like, the way he does that, with that whole scene when he does that part, I was just like, I feel like I've seen this before.
You know what, here's the thing. He, in that movie, he did a good job,
Are we talking about Obadiah?
So, yes. Okay. He did a good job, Jeff Bridges did, and it was fine. The character, you know, it was what it was, and it wasn't a problem, but what it comes down to is he was miscast. Like, I love Jeff Bridges, and I'm glad that he was in the movie, but that character probably would have been wiser to have casted someone else other than Jeff Bridges for that character.
Like Al Pacino.
Or John Goodman would have been good too. The suit would have been even bigger.
It would have had to have been.
I also liked how there was nothing that was like happenstance in this one. Like Iron Man 2, which I defend as still being wicked entertaining, was, it had its problems, but it was still really entertaining to me, but...
I gotta rewatch it. I feel like I always lose it after the car scene.
Oh, yeah, after, yeah, yeah. After...
Talladega Nights, I don't know.
Yeah, why can't you think of his fucking name? What's his name?
Mad Russian?
Yeah.
Oh, Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke, yes. After that, that part's great.
Yeah.
After that, though, I agree. It just kind
of... I will say, after that, it has a lot of problems, but I still find it entertaining because I still like watching Robert Downey Jr. and Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
And Mickey Rourke. And, like, I still enjoy watching that movie. I don't like how it has the same end basically as Iron Man.
Right, right.
And this one kind of has it too, because there's just a bunch of Iron Men,
yeah.
But they're all on one side, so it's a little bit better. But Shaffer, where were we going with this?
I just can't believe with Iron Man 2,
Oh wait, hang on. I remember where I was going with that.
All right.
The he's being poisoned by
the
power source. So he has to create this new element, and it just so happens that his father created this element already and hid it in the schematics of a park, and was just like put in this random newsreel that he just happened to watch. Like, this is the source. Oh, and then this also happens to fix your problem.
So you're saying a lot of grains of salt that just happened to line up?
Yeah, just a lot of stuff just happened and worked out really well for him. Whereas in this one, like, he made a lot of stuff happen and, like,
yeah,
nothing was, oh, isn't that lucky that this just happens to be there.
Right.
It, too, is just a lot of coincidence and, I don't know. I just, it bothers me that a movie with Robert Downey Jr., playing Iron Man, Mickey Rourke and Sam Rockwell wasn't amazing. Like it should have blown it out of the park, but it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't. But
it was no Ghost Rider. It didn't fall flat on its face as well.
I actually find it more entertaining than Thor, but. I don't like Thor.
You don't like Thor?
I've seen it a couple times. I'm just, on Thor.
I enjoyed it.
I think I just don't like Hemsworth.
Really?
Wow.
He's anti-Hemsworth.
Well, for whatever reason, him as Thor, I don't give a shit about the character.
I like him.
I think it's also possibly I just don't really give a shit about the character in the comics either.
I think he works better as a team as opposed to, like, his own.
Yeah, like, I liked him in the Avengers, but
yeah.
I think in the comics, in the movie, I didn't give a shit about him.
I mean,
my
Thor is kind of a stupid character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's tough to, like, really care about. He's just not that interesting. He's just kind of a big idiot.
My biggest thing about Thor...
Yeah, he's just a big... Like, he's a cocky asshole, but he doesn't have any redeeming qualities. Like, Tony Stark's kind of an asshole, but he's...
Yeah, but he's funny.
Yeah, he's funny, exactly.
Right.
And he's smart.
He's wicked smart, and he's funny. And Thor, I don't give a shit about.
Well, he is a dick in the movie, but I think, well, he's supposed to be, because it's supposed to be, like, a character arc of, like, him being more human, or, you know.
Who, Thor?
Yeah, in the Thor, the first movie.
Because he ends up caring about the humans, you
right.
know, the, and you know, wanting
to save
them.
Because he's just a selfish douche that just wanted to fucking fight, and he kind of realizes that there's more to life than that.
Right, and yeah, that there's consequences to just fucking around.
Right. My issue is that it was the writing and location where they were just like, I mean, we could do this someplace, but let's build a small town in the middle of the desert, and, you know, it really has no consequences. What happens? So if...
Yeah.
Like, that was my only really drawback. I was like, random fucking town. It's just like, well, we got a 7-Eleven and a Sunoco, and then, coffee shop.
We literally have just like four stop signs and one
yeah.
traffic light. I mean, that's really about it. So, I mean, even if this is wiped off the face of the earth, no one's really
right.
going to care.
The
I mean, there's going to be some candlelight
right.
rituals.
Like,
but
in Avengers, it's like, shit, they're attacking New York. There's a fucking wormhole in the sky and shit's happening. And then Thor's just like, I don't know where, I don't even know where you are right now. I don't really give a shit if it blows up. I don't care. There's no, like, loss, I guess. I'm not committed, you know, to care at all where they
right.
are.
It's not quite Manhattan, is what
right.
you're saying?
Yeah, you know.
It wasn't even, they didn't even put him in a major city. They could have put him in, put him in, like, Albuquerque, and I still would have been like, all right, at least, you know, something's
there's
at stake
people
here.
There.
Yeah. But really, when they go to the small town, it just seems it's, like, Thor, the research team, and then, like, five other people.
It was Thor, the research team on a backlot studio.
Yes. but, yeah, I just...
Now, did you like Iron Man? I mean, I'm sorry. Did you like Thor or Captain America more?
I think I liked Captain America more.
Okay.
See, I went Thor more.
Really?
Yeah. Just because I thought Captain America had a little bit too much montage. I like a little
yeah.
montage. They had a little
it
too
was
much
so
montage.
Much montage.
There was a lot of montage. But I think I liked the character of Captain America more in the comic book, so I liked it more in the movie. I think that plays into it a bit. Now, I didn't really like the character of Iron Man in the comics as much as other characters, but I love the movies. And that's probably...
Downey Jr.
Yeah, he owns it.
Yeah.
I didn't care too much about Red Skull. Like, Red Skull's fucking awesome, but they didn't... Did they even actually have a real fight?
I thought so.
There was a lot of chasing, and there was a lot of running, and there was... Oh, fuck. This is the scene I hate. Is Captain America goes to save his people in this warehouse.
The factory.
Hydra
there.
Yeah.
And the thing's burning down, and he's like, I'm gonna make a leap of fucking faith, and he, like, runs across the bridge, and he just runs, and he jumps, and you know he's not fucking making it, and then it's just like, cutscene. Hey, everybody's okay, we're not going to explain how they got out of that or how we survived this, but now we're walking back to the camp, everything's A-okay, I just saved the day. That was, I kind of had an issue with that.
I don't remember that there being that much of a jump.
He jumps into a fiery mess of a building, and then it's just cutscene, and the next shot is him just walking up to the camp. And there was never ever...
going for a Sunday stroll to the park.
Captain America here. I don't know how I just saved all these people, though.
I love the way that you did that walk, though. It was like you were one of those old ladies walking the mall before it opened.
I have too much vigor in my arm swinging.
You're going to sit down at Orange Julius when it opens with the other old people and discuss the day.
But that was one of my biggest issues. And then I can't remember him actually fighting Red Skull,
I feel like he did on the bomber.
But then he gets sucked into the cube, and then that's the end of that.
So anticlimactic.
Yeah. But it's probably just beats out Thor, but again, it's probably partially because of how I feel about the character going into it. So, another thing that I didn't like about it was Pepper.
Pepper in Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Pepper Pulse. This had a lot of Pepper.
I didn't mind. I really didn't mind that. The part I minded was at the end, where she quote-unquote dies. And I was like, I was trying to decide if they would actually kill her off. And then I was like, no, like, she's probably still got the extremis and probably took, so she's probably fine.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they do the reveal that happened. I don't understand how, even though her body was on fire, her clothes were still intact. That was a little weird.
You just wanted to see her naked.
I mean, I did. No, but the other thing that I didn't like was that she is the one that killed Killian.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it kind of reminded me of the end of Dark Knight Rises, and one of my big problems were Bane, who's, like, the main villain... It suddenly dies from Catwoman. Like, Catwoman suddenly comes in and shoots him, and she's just like, all right, well, that's that. And you're like, all right, I guess so.
So why did Batman even show up?
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
But again, like, Pepper comes out of nowhere and just, like, kills him. And then I was like, well, all right, I thought he would die from the suit exploding, and that would be an awesome way to kill the villain.
But they had to do the horror book, the horror movie ending, where you think he's dead, and then...
But what I didn't understand was why... She killed him basically with an explosion, right?
I don't really know what happened, to be honest.
It was like she almost, like used a missile as a baseball bat and hit it into him.
She grabbed the armor and took the arm off after she did that, and then she blasted him, and I think she just blew him up. But what I don't understand is
why did he die from that
and not the suit blowing up.
The only thing she threw something at him and then blew that up, but I don't know what she threw.
That's what I was saying. Like she like hit him with something.
I don't know if it was like a extremist drug or some shit like that, so like he got overloaded and then she blasted it and then he blew up from that. It looked like it's just a piece of metal.
I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah,
somehow he just died.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little...
But it looked like an explosion. Although the extremis drug might make more sense. But it just looked like all of a sudden,
I hope that's what it is.
It just all of a sudden seems like he exploded, and I was like, well, why didn't the suit blow him up?
Right.
It seems kind of
I mean, this guy
weird.
Survived, 80 explosions so far. Why did that one kill him?
Yeah, that's the one that does it.
Wasn't even that big.
Yeah, and then I don't know. I wanted to see Robert Downey Jr. kill him.
Yeah, I mean...
I almost feel...
Yeah, it would have made a lot more sense.
This is going to possibly seem like a douchey, macho thing to say, but I feel like all of a sudden, in the superhero movies, they're like, well, I mean, the guy can't always save the girl, so now let's have the girl save the guy.
Yeah.
And show that women are strong, too. And I'm like... I mean, I like it, but at the same time, I'm like, she saved him at the beginning. She saved him at the beginning. Yeah, when they started bombing the place. That was really awesome.
I mean, this movie's called Iron Man 3, not Peppa Potts 3, right?
Yeah.
Am I right or am I right?
Am I right, guys? Am I right?
I mean, no, I don't have a problem with Peppa having, a role in the, in defeating whoever. That's
right.
Great, but I mean, shouldn't, the whole character arc and the whole story is about Tony Stark. I mean, he should be the one to finish him off. It's like, why? I just don't understand the reasoning behind having Pepper do it.
Especially because the Iron Man suits killed all the other extremist people with not much trouble.
Yeah. So why is he any different?
I don't know.
Because he's Guy Pearce.
Maybe.
And he had those gay dragon tattoos on his chest.
Yeah, that's actually what I was so upset about. He just got a shitty tattoo.
He was like, oh, I paid all this money for this. They came out terrible.
And I don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he tested it on himself first, and he's mastered it by now, and
maybe
the other ones haven't.
He did spit fire. Nobody else was doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, nobody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was like the super shredder of the extremists.
Yeah, exactly. But did you see the article I posted? I think it might have been on our Facebook page, that wondering if Marvel is setting up West Coast Avengers.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Because they have Hawkeye, who becomes the leader, and he's in place.
Right.
I think Ant-Man's involved somehow. It's either War Machine or Iron Man's involved. Tony Stark, his, Malibu, or not, yeah, Malibu mansion becomes it. So now that it's destroyed, it could be rebuilt.
Mm.
There's a lot of things in there. And who's another one on the team? The Falcon is going to be in Captain America,
too. Oh, right.
So, all the characters are being introduced,
yeah.
So they're wondering if that would be...
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen in Phase 3. I'm assuming Phase 2 is space.
Right. And I assume that Black Panther is going to come into play, because they've been trying to do a Black Panther movie for fucking ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but they're obviously rebooting Fantastic Four, and the rumor so far is that Johnny Storm is going to be a black guy.
Wow.
Hmm.
All right. So does that mean that Susan Storm is going to be a black girl?
No, she's white.
So how are they related?
It's either going to be he's adopted or a mixed racial couple. Parents.
But one come out with black and one came out white?
No, then they're...
I'm not a geneticist.
I think I'm going to say divorce would have to be involved in that. Lots of alimony, possibly a parental test on Maury.
You are not the father.
Yeah, I told you.
Fuck you. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I read an article this morning about it, and I was just like, Fox, stop it. I know what you're trying to do, and that's fine, but...
Well, now Marvel has gotten a bunch of properties back, too.
Yeah, they got Daredevil back.
Ghost Rider and something else.
Oh, I didn't realize they got three.
They got Ghost Rider back, and I thought there was another one.
That's really got Ghost Rider back. They just made a fucking Ghost Rider film. I figured they would.
Maybe Fox gave it up. They're just like, you know what, we're done with this.
Tried twice, and
yeah.
That's it.
Take it out.
You know what, see what you
Punisher?
Can do.
Punisher, yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. I'm still going to stand by this. Punisher 89, Dolph Lundgren, my favorite Punisher movie. Opens up with him naked in the sewer.
Yeah.
You just like to see that body on him.
You know, I really liked Thomas Jane's Punisher. Everything about else about the movie.
You didn't like John Travolta's part?
No.
Because I have more guns than you do.
It's
that was
like,
a line.
It's like the Pierce Brosnan Bonds. I really like Pierce Brosnan's portrayal of Bond. He just had poor material to work with.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest problem. But Thomas Jane, I really liked his portrayal of the Punisher, but he just had a... Did you see the short film Dirty Laundry that he did?
No.
He made a short film, Dirty Laundry. It's only a few minutes. I'll show it to you later. And it's... He's basically the Punisher, but he's trying to not be the Punisher, and then all of a sudden he just finally snaps while he's, like, doing his laundry. And it sounds
put
stupid.
A spill t-shirt
it
on,
sounds
he's
stupid.
Like, that's
it. It sounds stupid, but the action in it is awesome.
What set him off? Did he leave a red pair of underwear and a white load? Everything came out pink and he just lost.
No, his
it's like the Simpsons
no,
episode.
Yeah. His entire laundry is black. All his laundry is black. So it wasn't that.
He went to work with a dryer sheet still attached to his dress shirt. And everyone made fun of him.
His underwear got into the pants, and while he was walking, a pair just fell out.
Oh, yeah, you had that happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he was just like, oh. It was just a smiley face on the ass of the boxers.
So, Avengers 2, Electric Boogaloo. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are going to be in it.
We're assuming, yeah.
No, they said they are.
I thought he only said that it was a brother and sister.
Yeah, then like a day went by, and Whedon was like, that's,
oh, right.
Really, that's what I was talking about.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
Like, of course. I mean, really. Yeah.
Should be. It's just weird, because it's fucking Magneto's kid, but Magneto's is still with Fox.
Yeah, but they're rebelling.
Yeah, I mean, they can't.
That's one franchise Fox is never going to give up.
But
no,
the thing is...
I'm thinking Spider-Man and Sony, but yeah.
The thing is, how do they fit Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch into what they've already created? Because they haven't... Because
they were bad guys and then they were good guys, or maybe they're bad guys. I don't really know.
No, but they haven't in the movie so far of, like, Phase 1 and everything, they haven't introduced magic or mutants.
True. I don't know.
So I'm wondering how they fit into it.
But they do want to make a Doctor Strange movie.
That's true.
So maybe that'll be there.
They'll just start throwing stuff in.
Or they'll just pull Hawkeye and really have no explanation whatsoever and stick them in two movies.
Have you seen...
That's a good point.
Have you seen the Ant-Man test footage? That
no, I missed it. I can't find it on the net.
Yeah, I missed it too.
I think I have it downloaded.
Okay.
I ripped it off the internet when it went up. I'll show it to you. But it looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks awesome, and I think... I'm really excited
to meet his wife and then get the shit kicked out of him, like, Captain America.
I really hope that he does the attacks with ants.
Yes. Yeah.
He just gets so pissed off because you overcooked the fucking pasta, and then just all these ants just swarm as everywhere.
Who can blame him?
His fucking mind.
Yeah.
Pasta sticks together. Someone's got to pay.
Although, really, I don't think they'll do that.
No.
Because
it's a family-friendly affair.
I mean,
they didn't
go into Iron Man's drinking.
Which, yeah, they should have. It's fucking right there.
They kind of mentioned it in the second one and, like, alluded to it the one time when he got drunk at the party.
Right, but was he drunk or was he all fucked up on, like, his chest piece shit?
No, he was drunk.
Oh, he was drunk? Okay.
Yeah. And then... But obviously, like, he hasn't dealt with it, because he goes into where he keeps all the Iron Man suits, and it's just like a giant wine cellar.
There's so much booze in there.
It's ridiculous how much wine is in there. So I mean, obviously he hasn't dealt with all his demons. He's dealt with some of them, but he still has...
He clearly still has a problem.
Yeah. So, anything else about Iron Man 3?
Go see it. And, I really hope at this point you've already seen the film.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna put it on Front Street and let everyone know that, you know, it really should have been taken care of, but, you know, watching it before you listen to this, because, I mean, really, we didn't really tell the movie, just gave away major...
Right.
Spoiler alert.
We didn't tell you the jokes, or the line-by-lines, or the visual humor.
Yeah.
But we gave you all the twists and turns.
Yeah. We plotted your course, now you go... You go drive it.
The future could be yours.
You too, kids!
Alright, so that's Ben But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Guest Chris Bertone.
I mean, you could have just said your name, but alright.
Guest?
I think we established that you were guest.
What a momo.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/butyourwrong. Twitter, BYW Podcast. YouTube, BYW Podcast, and go see Iron Man 3. And remember, no regrets, and...
If you need to take down a bad guy, bring Peppa Potts with you.
And butt heavies.
Lots of butt heavies.
Words to live by.